people grew up in West Virginia. That's where I came from. My mother was from West Virginia. My dad was from Ohio. And their biggest fights was about where my dad came from. They said Ewens. And where my mother came from, they said y'all. And we weren't allowed to say either one, so I guess we weren't supposed to even talk. But I remember when you could used to have a little fun about your nationality or who you were. You used to tell Polack jokes. You can't tell those anymore. But the most trouble I ever got in was telling blonde jokes. I thought they were real funny. I'm old. I can remember when we had the dimmer switch down on the floorboard. Can you remember that? There's one joke I thought was so good I used to tell about blondes back in the 70s when they first started that. They said the governor was going to require them to take the dimmer switch off of the wheel where they have it, put it back down on the floor, and called all these blondes to get their foot hung in the steering wheel. They had to stop that. So, and another one I heard I thought was really a good one, and this is one I really got in trouble. There was a blonde went into the service station, and she said to the guy, "Do you have a coat hanger? I've locked my keys in my car, and I can't get them out." And he said, "Sure." She took a coat hanger and went out. She'd go on. He waited on a few customers, and directly he wondered what had happened. He went out. She had the hanger down inside, and there was another blonde sitting inside, said, "Move it over this way a little bit." And the reason I got in trouble, there was a lady who had coal black hair come up to me and said, "I'm really upset about the blonde joke you told." I said, "You're not even blonde." She said, "Not now." So you never know who you're offending, right? We want to talk today about Jesus. You know, Jesus grew up. He became a man. We've been through Christmas, and sometimes that's about all people have to do with Jesus is Christmas. When that's over, we're not going to have anything to do with Jesus until next year. And that's about all they have. Baby Jesus is growing up in the story that we read. And the question I'd ask you, are you growing in spirituality and stature with him? It says he grew like that, and we're supposed to grow. We don't have a Savior in the manger. We have a Savior in heaven. He went all the way from the manger to the cross, and he died on that cross. He tells us what we're supposed to do in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." So our walk should continue to increase with him. "Rooted and built up in him and established in faith as you've been taught." You know, you got to be taught. We all need taught, and it never runs out. We need to set ourselves under a Bible teacher, a preacher, or somebody to teach us and learn from the Bible, learn about Jesus Christ, or how are we going to know? We run into people all the time who've never been, seems like they've never been taught much. They haven't grown up much. I mean, physically, but not mentally or spiritually. And we have a bunch of babies running around, and it's terrible when it's that way spiritually. You know, if our child is not maturing at home, we get excited and we run to the doctor and say, "Well, he's 9 years old and he's not talking much, so we need to do something. He's not doing much. He doesn't learn. He doesn't be able to receive communication well, so we get him a doctor." Well, if we're spiritually not growing in Christ, we need to get to Dr. Jesus, right? And say, "Something's wrong with this spiritual child of mine. He's not growing. He's not growing up in the Lord as he ought to." I think the reason is that as Jesus' parents lost him on the way back from the temple, we don't lose Jesus, but we lose some things in our life that associate ourselves with him, and that's our problem. Number one, I think we lose our love for Jesus Christ. We love Christmas and talking about him. It's amazing how people don't want to talk about Jesus or put the nativity scene out or hear anything about it. They love those cash registers to ring. How much money did we make over Christmas? We'll make a lot of money off his birthday, but we don't want to give him the credit, right? So we lose our love for him. In Ephesians chapter 3, he says in verse 17, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love." In other words, it grows stronger as you grow up with Jesus Christ in your heart and life. It doesn't grow weaker and wane and you lose your love for him, but it grows more vital, more important, and more strenuous and more exciting about Jesus Christ and what he's doing in your life. It doesn't grow wane and off in a distance. It's up close. And fellowship, we'll talk about that later. And when we mention the seven churches of Asia, this is the first church mentioned. No wonder Paul wrote that to them. In the book of Ephesians, he saw some things maybe going on in that church that was happening, that they weren't growing properly, that they didn't get excited about Christ like they once did, They didn't have that stamina and that energy and that excitement and that joy that they once had. So he wrote them that. And then we find that Jesus has to tell them they've completely lost it in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 when he writes that first letter to the church at Ephesus. He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." I think that's what happens after Christmas. We leave our first love. We get all excited about baby Jesus, but then we begin to wane. And whatever it is that slips in and takes the place of that, we're gone the other way. And we don't love him like we used to. In the years of counseling, it used to be the preacher was the best marriage counselor when I first started. Not much to counsel today. People just do what they want to anyway. But people would come to you for counseling, and many times this is a phrase I would hear. "He doesn't love me like he used to. She doesn't love me like he used to." And I think God would shout that from the heavens to his church people today. "You don't love me like you used to. You don't love me the way you did when I first found you and brought you to new life and gave you the new life. You're wandering and you're going all over the place and you just don't have that real fire burning like you once did." And that's one of the first signs that ought to alarm us. And especially when we're not even out of the months of December and we don't have the same love and same excitement about Jesus as we did back there preceding the 25th and up to that time. We was all excited about Christ and his birthday. But now we got other things pushing in. We got other things taking our attention. We got other things pulling us away from the first love. And he says, "You've left your first love." We see the second thing that happens, and I believe these things start in a dove effect like this, lined up. The first thing that happens is we start waning in our love. We don't have that warm love and firebrand love anymore. Then we start losing our joy. I believe that's the second act of the Holy Spirit. We find love and then joy. One of the characteristics, have you lost your joy? And the devil wants to do that. That's why he tempts us with getting things to get our attention so that we'll love those things more than we love Christ, and then we lose our joy. Because the Bible says that's where the heart of our strength lies. No wonder we're weak, and no wonder we can't withstand temptation, and no wonder we can't walk the walk, and we can't do the work that God's called us to do, and we have burnout, and we feel distressed, and we just feel like we can't keep up anymore with the spiritual part of our life. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, "And he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and the portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." When you start losing your joy, you'll not have the spiritual strength to do what you need to do, what God asks you to do, and go where God asks you to go, and still be enjoying what your salvation is all about. We find David had a similar experience when he sinned to sin with Bathsheba. He said to the Lord when he's talking to, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I haven't lost my salvation, but I've lost that joy. And I can't tell other people like I once did about how wonderful you are and how good you are. I find myself complaining. I find myself whining. I find myself distraught. I find myself all upset. I find myself just saying things that I never thought I would say. And I just don't have the push to be spiritual anymore, to be around spiritual people or to help people that are not that way because I've lost that joy. I don't enjoy my salvation anymore." It was meant for us to enjoy it so we could have the spiritual strength to do it. When young David stood out there with nothing but a slingshot and looked at that giant, he had the joy of his salvation, and he had the strength of his salvation, he had the power of his salvation, and he wasn't fearful of the giant. And now he's walking in fear. Here's the king of all of Israel, and he doesn't have that joy anymore. Have you lost your joy? You don't get as excited about the things of God as you used to. Forgot where your Bible is because you don't know the last time you read it. You don't have the prayer altar that you once had or the prayer book that you had when you put down the prayers that you prayed and the requests for whom they came from because you don't have that joy, you don't have that strength and that energy bubbling up inside of you as they sing about, bubbling, bubbling, where in my soul? So we lose our love for him and we start waning and leaning away and walking further away from the Lord, spending less time in the Word, less time in prayer, less time with Christian people. And we're wondering why our strength is zapped. because our joy is gone. We've lost it. We've wavered in it. Then we find the third thing that happens is we lose our peace. Have you lost your peace? The peace of God, the peace that God gives. God gives peace. He said, not as the world gives, I give I you peace, but I give you peace in the storm. When your peace only works when there's peaceful around you, what kind of peace is that? It's like having a house with no roof. You don't need it when it's not raining, but when it's raining, you're getting rain on it. Your peace is only there when the circumstances are all peaceful. When Jesus was walking on the sea in the storm, he said, peace, be still. He had peace in the storm. You can have peace in the storm if you have Jesus and you have the love in your heart and you have the joy of the Lord, then you can have peace. But when you lose the joy and the love, you begin to lose the peace. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. That's the part. And I believe, folks, listen to me very clearly right here. I believe one of the times that we lose our testimony to a lost and dying world is when adverse situations come up on us and we lose our peace and the world looks at us and they think, well, you don't have peace in your storm. Why would I want to trust your God? You don't have any more peace than I do. You go to pieces when the storm comes in your life like it does mine. That's the moment when our peace should rise to the top. The eagle, when the storm comes, gets above the storm. That's the way our spirit should be. When the devil sends problems and difficulties and the Lord allows them to come into our heart for testing to show us that we've lost our peace, we're not anchored. And we lost our peace, as I said, these dovetail, because we lost our joy. And we lost our joy because we lost our love. And we started loving the world. That's why the Bible says, love not the things of the world. The things of the world will lure us. When Satan was tempting Jesus and held him up, said, all the things I'll give you if you just bow down and worship me. And he's got us. He pulls us a little bit at a time, a little bit here and a little bit there, till we lose it all. He also says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm leaving these things with you. I want you to have peace, because when you see me hanging on that cross, you're going to need peace. When they put me in that tomb, you're going to need peace. You don't need to fly apart and say, oh, well, as Peter did, and say, it's all over, boys. We might as well go back to fishing. We might as well go back doing the worldly things we did before, because he's put him in a tomb. It's over. It's all done. It was a big hoax anyway. It doesn't work anyway, so we're just going to give up and quit. That marks a lot of people in the church, and you don't see many of them, because the first storm that comes and wipes them out, then they don't have it anymore. So they're out there. I'm talking about Christians that once were saved and sang the praises of God, but they lost their love, they lost their joy, now they lost their peace, and they don't witness and testify for him. My peace I leave with you. I give unto you, and not as the world giveth. There's a certain amount of temporary peace the world gives. They give it to you in various ways to attract you and hold you for a moment, until that day passes, then the next day it's something else, until the devil finally has you right where he wants you with his foot on your neck, and he knows that you can't be a witness or a testimony for God anymore, then he laughs at you to where you've gotten to, just like he did Adam and Eve. Just look at that tree. Just look at that fruit. Look how lovely it looks. Look how desirous it looks. And he's saying the same thing to you and I. It's not a fruit tree in the garden, but somewhere there's something that attracts you, and he knows it attracts you, and he knows how to hang it before you, and he knows how to dangle it, and he knows how to whisper when you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep, even dream about it, how wonderful it'd be to do whatever he's asking you to do, take a bite of it, enjoy it, so you'll lose your peace and your joy and your love, and then he'll have you. He says, this peace I give, not as the world give, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When men's hearts quiver, they've lost the peace of God. All the world can shake around us, but if we've got the peace of God, we can sing, up on that solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's the rock I stand upon. That's the name I uphold. That's the one I depend upon. Have you lost your peace? You've lost your joy? You lost your love for Jesus? Have you lost your comfort of God? We all need comfort. Someone says that God never takes a day off. Well, I don't know whether he takes a day off or not, but the Bible says he created the world in 6 days, and then he rested the 7 days. I guess he was available if he had a case or something. He had his call box or whatever, how it got his attention, right? Some people just say things. You ever hear people say, Jesus never met a sick person he didn't heal? Well, that's not true. The Bible says when he went to Pool of Siloam, there was a whole multitude of impotent folks and one man. And before he healed him, he said, do you want to be made whole? You know, some people just like having a problem. My stuff just never goes away, Pastor Hodge. It just never goes away. You know, they don't want it to go away. What would it be griping about? What would it be complaining about, huh? Some people just got to have a broken leg to drag around so they complain all the time, right? Well, get up and run with one leg. I mean, if that's your problem, right? I mean, we just spend too much time harping about the same old thing over and over. Well, if it's not going to change, get in and enjoy what you can enjoy. God help us. Have you lost the comfort of God? When the dark nights come, when you've lost your dearest loved one, when someone's called you and guess what, I've got cancer and it breaks your heart, your children or your grandparents or somebody, where's the comfort of God? If you've lost the peace, the comfort's the next thing to go. You're not comforted. God knows how to comfort us. He said one of the things to us when he left this world, I will not leave you comfortless. I send the Holy Spirit to comfort you. Well, the Holy Spirit's not going to rule and reign in a heart that doesn't love Jesus like it used to. That's lost its peace and lost its love for him. It's not going to be there. And you're going to be going nuts and pulling your hair like everybody else does. And the world looks at you and says, Christianity's no different than anybody else. Where are you when the storms come? And listen to me. Every storm that comes in your life, God either wills it or he allows it. So he's responsible, and he allows it or wills it for some purpose. I don't always know the purpose. He tells us here in this verse that he allows some of it, so we'll be able to help other people when they're in it. Listen to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. He says, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. That means we don't deserve it. It might be some problem you got yourself into. You know, isn't it funny we get into a mess? We made all the decisions to get into a mess someplace, and then we ask God, why has this happened to me? God must just laugh and shake his head. You jumped right into it. The prodigal son went down that road. He could smell the pigs before he got to the hog pen, couldn't he? And he was a Jew. By the way, I think I heard Woody tell it, you know, today is National Bacon Day, right? So get out and eat all the bacon you can eat, right? Forget the cholesterol. Just go for the bacon. Whole hog and all. And just live it up. Watch those football games and eat that bacon. How did I get onto that? Well, anyway, he should have known. He should have smelled the pig, shouldn't he? You know, when you step into sin, you start smelling it. If it does, listen to me. I don't care what the name of the person on the platform or on the marquee or what the building looks like. If it doesn't look like a church, and if it doesn't act like a church, honey, it probably ain't a church. We need to be careful. Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear. You hear that stuff so much. Oh, just send me a $500 bill, and I'll send you a piece of rags off of my suit, and you'll be healed of whatever's wrong with you. Just send it on in. And those charlatans do that, and people believe that, and then nothing happens, and they get mad, and they say, oh, it doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work. You want to trust in the devil and the lies of the devil? Just go follow him, and he'll laugh at you all the way to the cemetery. But he says, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all, who, and the God of all comfort. All comfort. He's able to comfort you. I don't know how we'll have to leave this world. We all would just like to fly out in the rapture, amen? We all like to just lay down one night and go to sleep and wake up in heaven. But it doesn't happen that way in most cases. When you see people suffering like Louis suffering, or suffering a different kind of way like Hazel's suffering, can't be in her home anymore, and I go there and try to talk to her and cheer her up, you realize that there has to be a God of comfort somewhere. There has to be something you can give people that's real and something that's not artificial and say, oh, suck it up, buddy. Have a good day. So what? What am I going to suck up? There ain't anything to suck up. I'm sucked up as far as I can go. I don't have anything left. I need comfort from God and Jesus Christ. Amen. Something beyond the mentals. Well, I don't have enough money to get there. None of us do. If it depends on money, we'll all be out of it. One trip to the hospital could break us all anyway. The prices they show today, as they sent me those bills, I look at them. What are they talking about? $33,000. I wasn't there but one day. Huh? Hello? You know what I'm talking about? The God of all comfort, that's what I'm talking about. What money can't buy, what friends can't give you, God's comfort can come to you because you have the peace of God. And verse 4, he said, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God's saying to us, maybe I'm taking you through a great trial and tribulation because down the road, when I comforted you, down the road you'll be able to comfort somebody else. You're going to my school. God's got a school of hard knocks. And God knows which knock to give you, the right or the left, right? We don't like it, but we say, why, God? God says, don't worry about it. You'll know about it when it comes time to know about it. Did you ever get in a car with somebody and you say, where are we going? Your parents, they say, shut up. Get in, buckle up, shut up, sit down, be quiet. I'm driving. Bam, off they go. And you'll find out when you get there. And then you try that on your grandkids. We had them driving with us. They could see the Mickey D's sign long before I ever saw it. There's a Mickey D's 5 mile ahead. I didn't see the sign. Oh, I did. What's right down here, Pap? Right off. This is where we get off. They know all that stuff. And they knew how. Remember the old VCRs? I could not figure out how to use them. Here, Pap, come here. You punch this button, then you punch this button. Wait. You passed two buttons. They knew how to run all that stuff. And then you get this movie, you get that movie, Pap, and punch that for your credit. Give me your credit card, Pap. Put that in. No. Wait a minute. Know all about it, how to do it, right? Aren't you glad the peace that passeth all understanding is ours, and then we'll have the comfort of God. Comfort my soul in the dark nights when I wake up and walk down the hall and see my grandson's picture hanging there who took his life in the middle of the night and the tears flow and the heart just shakes inside of my body. And then the God of peace lifts me up and said, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Praise God for that comfort that he gives. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? In the dark nights, and when some of your dearest friends call you up and say, you dirty, rotten so-and-so, so-and-so, and you're saying, what? I thought you was my friend. Yeah, but I just found out, blah, blah. I don't even know what you're talking about. Where's the God of peace, the God of comfort? He's there. He's there. I can experience that. You can experience that. But if all you have is baby Jesus and now you've laid him aside from the manger and you're going to walk on your own and you're going to suck it up, I guarantee you, you're going to be miserable and start losing your love and start losing your peace and you'll not have the comfort in the dark hours when you need it, when you need it. And when your children or your grandchildren or your friends come to you and they're bawling their eyes out and you can put your arms around them and say, listen, let's get the peace of God. Let's get the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let God take care of this problem. You're taking on too much responsibility. God knows what to do in those dark hours. And then we lose our power. We lose our power in prayer. And when we lose our power in prayer, the next thing is we don't pray then. And the devil is so happy that we don't pray. Listen, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know the right words. You don't have to know the quotes from every place in the Bible. All you need to know is you want to get a hold of heaven and you want to get a hold of God. He says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, we need to do about two or three things. We're going to be talking about some of this tonight. You'll want to be back. How to get a hold of God. I want to tell you tonight how to get a hold of God. We need God like we've never needed him. I don't know. Do you get angry at what's going on in our country? When you see this young man with his beautiful wife out there in California that came here the right way, come in as an immigrant, went through all the process, got a little boy, got him a job as a policeman, wearing his proud uniform, steps out, has Christmas Day with his wife and says, now I got to go take duty tonight, goes out in the car, stops a guy, walks up and the guy guns him down. Illegal immigrant been here, been arrested 3 or 4 times. But the ICE says we can't give. I don't know if you understand all that. I don't either. But that makes me so angry. That just makes me so angry. And we're supposed to have law-abiding people telling us that's the way how to run. I mean, they're not saying, let's get that guy. No, 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 we got to protect that. I get angry. But you know what takes care of the anger? It's the blessed peace of God. The blessed peace of God. And the power in prayer. There's power in prayer. We can pull the curtains of heaven back. We can see into the windows of heaven. We can see Him on His throne. We can say, God, I'm here with no answers. I have no life. I need the power of God to face this next day. I need the power of God to go on. Give me that all-time power. God, I want the power. Amen. I don't want to be in a dead church. I don't want to lead a dead church. I don't want to be a part of a dead church. I want to be alive. People say, oh, he looked good in the casket, didn't he, Brother John? I never saw a dead body look good in my life, did you? Live people look good to me. That's what I like to see, life. You can take anybody and stretch their skin, paint, put. I mean, some people do that pretty good too, don't they? I mean, I see people on after they come out of the house, I'm thinking, is that who I told while they go in the house? They got it all fixed up, and got the hair dyed, and stretched the wrinkles out, and got some surgery. I mean, looking pretty good. But when you're dead, you're dead. My dad used to say to me, John, when you're dead for a long time. I thought about that a while. That's true. That's true. I'm ready to go. I'm like the guy, they was having a meeting on the corner, having a street meeting, they was preaching. They had this crowd standing on the corner, and this guy was just preaching fire, hell, brimstone. He said, now everybody wants to go to heaven, come over here with me. Everybody came over with one guy. He said, buddy, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, but I thought you was getting a busload right now. I'm not ready to go on the next bus. You know, I'm not going to step in front of a freight train. You know what I mean? I'm not jumping on somebody's bus today. But you lose power in your prayer. He said we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can pour out our hearts. As I said, we'll talk about that tonight, how to get a hold of God. You want to know how to get a hold of God? Be here, we'll talk about that. Maybe you already know and you can help me out with that. Then they see we lose power in prayer, we lose power in witnessing. In Acts 18:26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You lose that desire to talk to people about God. Oh, I don't think it works anymore. I don't think the church is as good as it used to be. The church is only as good as we are. We're the church. You know, and isn't it something when people blame all their faults and all their problems on somebody else? I mean, they can't blame it on anybody else. They blame it on their parents. Well, you don't know how I had to grow up. Well, they should have probably done away with you before you ever got here. You know what I mean? As mean as you were, as bad as you were, it's a wonder they even let you live, huh? You ever hear a mom say that to a boy? Man, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of this world. Now, you shouldn't say things like that to your kids, but it's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, really, thank God somebody loved you enough to raise you and bring you into this world. Then you go around blaming your parents for how you act? Come on, get real. Have you lost your desire to serve Him? That's where we finally get, and nobody serves. Let somebody else do it. I don't have time anymore. I got things to do. And it says in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We arriving, folks. We arriving. I don't have that white-hot love anymore. I don't have the power. I don't have the mercy. I don't have the comfort. So finally, I just give up serving. I'm not going to serve God. I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm tired of serving. Nobody else serving. I don't care if I'm the only one in the harness with Him. He said we're in a yoke with Him. You ever see the yoke? Goes like that. Jesus is here. I'm here. Two oxen being here. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Get in the yoke with me. I don't have to worry about what everybody's doing with their yoke, but me and Jesus are yoked, and we're going to go. Amen? Go with Jesus. Have you lost your fellowship with God? 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship with Him. You know what I'm talking about this morning? We call it Christmas blues. We call it sad times or whatever we call it. The truth is, we have started losing all these things that we should have for Jesus Christ. We can't lose Him, we can't lose our salvation, but we can lose those things. In 1 Kings 18:30, for our conclusion, "And Elijah said unto the people, Come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Is your altar broken down? You're still visiting your altar, you still got that altar. Might be out in your backyard, might be in one of the rooms in the attic. I don't know where you have your altar, but we need an altar where we have a sacred place with God and a secret place with God, a place where we get alone with God. And when this world is overwhelming and it's getting more that way every day, drug addiction is climbing all the time, and we're now deciding that we need to do more teaching and training with drugs and give them more drugs to help them get off the drugs, and nobody knows who's on drugs and who isn't on drugs, and we're just all crazy. And our police are getting shot by them, and we're saying, well, we don't know what to do about that, and we're living in a mess, a big mess, and we need God. We don't need a broken down church. We don't need a broken down life. We need a red hot church full of people that want to go for God. It doesn't matter what we call ourselves, as long as we're saved on our way to heaven. Amen. Would you stand for prayer? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the love and salvation He gave us. We thank you that He did come into the world. It is a beautiful story. We think how He came to the very lowliest of parents and the very lowliest of a manger, and called the very lowliest common people of the world, the shepherds, to tell the first story. But yet the wise men sought Him. And Lord, wise men still seek Him today. We need a church. We need a country. We need a school. We need a place where people are seeking Jesus, and not answers from psychologists, and not answers from doctors, and not answers from lawyers. They're the people that got us into the mess. Help us to seek Jesus with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and walk with Him, that we might have that peace that passeth all understanding, that we might be in fire kindling in us of love for God, and that we might have power in our prayers and power in our witness. While the instruments begin to play, if the altar is calling you, would you come, please? If Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, you labor with the problems that I mentioned about, or some of them, or you know somebody that does, would you come this morning? Get to the altar and say, God, I need my altar revisited. I need my altar repaired by house. If the door quits working, we get busy and repair it. If we got a broken window, we get busy and repair it. How about the altar at your house? How about that altar? Do you really have one? Do you know a place where you go, where you let your tears flow and tell God everything honestly and truthfully and humbly, how we need altars if we're going to be what God wants us to be in 2019? We need an altar. And we need to use the altar that we have as a church and have fellowship with one another and with God. And we need to let God have His way. His way may not look best, but we know it is. We don't need to know the end. All we need to know is the beginning. And take one step at a time with Him. Walk with Him as led by the Spirit, the Bible tells it. 816 is our closing hymn. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And the altar is still open for you if you need to come. Let Him have His way in your life, your business, your family, wherever you are. Bless you. Brother Roy, would you have a closing prayer? We'll be back tonight at 6:30. See you then.